Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Father, we just want to thank you for how far you have brought each one of us. Father, I thank you that although we're not perhaps where we want to be, we're not where we were. Father, I thank you for that which you have done in every single life. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Will you just put your hand on your heart? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, I bow my knee before you, the God from whom every single one of us receives our life and our well-being. Father, I pray for each one, Lord God. I pray for your light to shine into each one of our hearts. Father, I pray that you would get past every post that we've set up along the way, past every barrier, and that you would do a work deep on the inside of every single one of us, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all the praise and the glory. Amen and amen. Praise God. Why don't you take your seats? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as I was watching, I couldn't watch the whole way through yesterday's on Revelation TV, but I managed to watch a bit. And the bit I wanted to know what was so funny between these two. I mean, Jen and Abby, they were bent double. I was like, I want whatever they're on. So, yeah, it was great. But I was thinking, are you supposed to really have fun in church? I mean, surely that's somewhere we're supposed to be really serious. My goodness, you girls know how to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I was on Premier Radio on Thursday. And we were launching this book. And one of the questions that actually they asked me, but in the end not on air, was a really interesting question. And it really got me thinking. And basically, one of the presenters put to me, she said, you start 30-day detox on the subject of truth. And she said to me, you know, why is truth so important? And the funny thing is I believe that the real ministry that God's called me to, the spearhead of what he's put on me and asked me to flow in is all to do with truth. It's all to do with truth. You know, there are certain people, and I just know that they have a really special anointing for healing bodies. There's a couple of people I know, one of them, an amazing, amazing guy in America. I preached in his church a couple of months ago. I'd been suffering for a bad back for a couple of weeks. And I said to him, I said, before anything else, please, Pastor, will you pray for my back? And he put his hand on my back. I said, I think it's postural. He said, no, it's pastoral. Don't worry, don't feel bad about that. But literally, within moments of him touching my back, the job was done. And I'd been really in a lot of pain. My flight there was agony. I was rolling scarves up. I was believing God. Why am I mentioning? You see, I have access to the healing power of God on physical bodies. You have access to the healing power of God on physical bodies. But some people have a specific gift. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I understand now more than ever that one of the things that God does when I'm just doing what God's called me to do is the Spirit of Truth, which is one of the names of the Holy Spirit, just works on the inside of people and does miracles that are nothing to do with me. What am I talking about? Well, people will say, wow, as you were preaching, you said exactly what was going on in my heart and life. You spoke straight to me. And the truth is, I didn't. I really didn't. What they think I said, I didn't say. Because it's just a gift of the Holy Spirit that accompanies the you know, whenever he asks me to do something, he shows up in such a powerful truth and does a work. Why am I saying all this? The message God has given me for today really is called The Truth About Trust. But I believe you see that every single one of you will hear a different message. And I believe about this book that one of the things that will happen is you will read and the Holy Spirit of truth will turn up in your home as you're reading and he will take you back to something. It might be a week ago. It might be a month ago. It might be three decades ago. But he'll take you back to places that you'd forgotten about. He'll take you back to experiences that you didn't even think were relevant anymore and show you how they're impacting your life today. And I believe really that is the core of what God's called me to. And so I'm going to minister today very much linked to the first day of the detox, which is called the truth. But we're going to look specifically at one area and we're going to look at the truth about trust. Hallelujah. You see, it says in Psalm 51, verse 6, you, talking of God, have desired truth in the inward parts. Now, one thing I want you to hear in that verse, truth is an aspiration. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, God's saying, I so desire that you will be constantly pursuing a place of truth in your life. Because truth does not come naturally. If you can grasp this, you see, you may have heard me talk about truth many times before if you've been close to me for any length of time or followed the ministry in any way. But the truth about truth is that we need to constantly be pursuing the truth because the natural state, the natural way things are, the norm in our lives is deceit. Wave at me. Is this all right for a Sunday morning? You see, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. So in other words, denial, deceit, deflection. How many of you are good at deflection here? Do you know what deflection is? Someone raises an issue about you. How come you never tidy up after you? And you go, well, did you see the last time you bothered to clean the toilet after, or let's say the bath? What about the last time you cleaned the bath with your hair all over it? Deflection. In other words, I don't want to look at the issues in my heart, so I'm going to deflect and point something out in you. How many of you know what deflection is? Wave at me. You see, the heart is deceitful. So what the heart, in its undealt with form, does on a daily basis is try to hide, try to point. You know, so often if we're feeling offended, we're feeling hurt at others, we're feeling let down, if we just stop in that moment and rather than point, say, Lord, Father, what is it that's going on the inside of me? Do you know the growth you would experience would be such an acceleration? In marriage, what do? We always think the problem is with the other person. Wherever we are, if we're struggling, we're so quick to point at someone else. But the moment we're ready to stop pointing, to stop blaming, to stop getting offended at others, to stop looking at their shortcomings, the moment we're ready to say, Lord, shine your light in me, he's saying, oh, my son, my daughter, I was waiting for you to ask. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm here today, honestly and truthfully, and I don't mean on this particular Sunday. I mean, I'm here today, I'm alive and well and married because there have been times upon times in my life where I refused to any longer point the finger and said, I want you to look on the inside of me, Lord, instead. You know, our marriage would not have survived if I'd continued pointing the finger. But I reached a point where I said, you know what, God, I still think he's wrong. Amen. You see, we believe we're right. Prod your neighbor and say, you're not always right. Hallelujah. We believe we're right. That's why it's called humility. Because we have to climb down. I think I'm right. I think I'm up here going, no, no, no. and so I'm going to climb down and say, maybe I'm wrong after all. Yes. Hallelujah. The truth is one of the most powerful weapons of God's armory that he wants us to learn to grow in day by day. Hallelujah. I want to read the dictionary definition of trust. Say trust. This is a dictionary definition. It says reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, or surety of a person or thing. Confidence, dependence, again, reliance. Now, I want you to keep that definition in your heart, you see. Now, I now want to share with you some of the benefits of trust. Say trust. You see, trust is something very, very powerful. But it's always something, it's also something that can be broken very easily. Isn't that true? And when trust is broken, the effects can be really harmful in our lives. Now, the reason the enemy is always looking to break trust on the inside of us is because he understands the benefits of trust. Say trust. You see, it says in Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are those who put their trust in him. Now, this word blessed is, there are several words in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, for blessed. And this one is a word, Esser. It's different to the one Baruch that you might know. It's one Esser. And it basically means happy. How many of you would like to be happy? Be really honest. Wave at me if you would like to be happy. And if you're already happy, wave at me if you'd like to be happier. Amen. And it's something God's put on the inside of us. But you see, the Bible says here that those who are happy, and there are so many different verses that say this same thing, are those who trust. Say trust. And you know, it's so easy to sit and say, well, I trust God, I just don't trust anyone else. My heckler has arrived. I love Alex's heckles. They keep me going. You see, the honest truth is that the evidence that I really trust God is that I can trust people. Let me park that there, however much you find that statement difficult to handle, and we'll come back to it. But the evidence that I really trust God is that I can trust people. You see, when we really learn to trust, we're going to be happy. It's amazing, the atmosphere of trusting God that resides on the inside. It's this atmosphere of peace. It's this atmosphere of blessing. It's an atmosphere, trust is an atmosphere where faith can grow really easily. But it's definitely peaceful. Let me just give you an example of what I really mean by trust in human terms. I've been married for 20 years this August, and I'm still working on the holiday, so just, you know, don't worry. It's going to happen, the anniversary holiday. The children have actually laid a stake. They just said, you cannot possibly go away without us. That would be so selfish. I felt like saying, you wait till you're married and you understand what you're saying. But I think they've won. So I think we're going to try and do something with the children. But we'll have been married 20 years this August. And in 20 years, I have never, ever, ever worried about money. Since the day I got married, I have never had a genuine financial worry. And that really is wow. But let me tell you why. You see, we've been through many times as a family when things have been very tight. You know, we've been at that place where we're looking at the supermarket shelves and, you know, you're comparing the 19p tomatoes, tin tomatoes, with the 17p tin tomatoes that are seriously dented and gone, praise God. I want the dented tins. How many of you look out for dented tins? You know what I'm talking about. You know, and we've been through many, many times as a family where things have been really tight. You know that song, Money's Too Tight to Mention? I would love to be able to sing like she can, but hey, that's all right. But I've never once worried really about money. I've really cried out to God at times about money and really said, God, you know, we need you to come through on this right now. But I've never, ever worried. And do you know why that is? You see, I'm married to a man. The sense of financial responsibility he carries is something I've never seen before. If he had to, I don't know, if he had to go out and somehow kill an animal to feed me, I know he would. There is something about my husband that is so, so financially responsible that I've never once worried for even a minute in 20 years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, I trust him because I know in whom. Are you hearing me? I know in whom. So when my husband said 2 years ago when we were thinking of moving and we took, you know, we took a huge leap in terms of the amount of outgoings that we were going to be having to pay relative to what we were paying, and it just suddenly quadrupled. Imagine. But he said, I felt it was God, the house. And the minute he said, yeah, this is God, I just knew it was fine. We'll have to be careful. I don't mind that. I don't mind self-control and discipline and all those things. But the moment he said, this is fine, I knew that it would be well. Because I knew in whom I have believed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, just to balance it up, let me tell you a little story. You see, I completely trust him with every penny. But I remember the first time I went away with ministry. And I was away and he was doing all the children's stuff. And actually, Roro was helping, so he wasn't doing all the children's stuff. But his job was getting the children to school. Sounds pretty easy. Yeah? So anyway, this particular day, I'd arrived back from wherever I'd been. Abby was three. She was at nursery school. And I went to collect her. And as she walked, because in nursery, you actually go into the classroom. They're all in their uniforms. It's attached to the main primary school. And she came out ready to come to her mummy with the teachers there, handing them straight over. And her hair was like this. I mean, every direction sticking up, you can imagine. And I looked at the teacher. And I said, Mrs. Edwards. She said, yes, Mrs. Norton. I said, did she arrive this morning looking like that? She said, yes, Mrs. Norton. So I got home. And I said, Paolo, thank you so much for everything you've done while I've been away. You've got to remember the praise sandwich. Ladies, you need to, you know. It's just wonderful. I feel so liberated. But my love, you didn't brush Abby's hair. And he looked at me and said, but I brushed her teeth. What more do you want? Hallelujah. You see, trust creates this atmosphere where we can relax and be at peace. That's God's heart for you. He wants you to know in whom you have believed. Trust is the atmosphere where you can cast your cares and leave them there. Are you hearing me? So many of us, we don't understand. You see, you're there and you're saying, oh, I cast every care onto you, Lord God. I give you all my worries. I give you all my angst. But then you find yourself back a day later at the same place. Am I telling the truth? Do you know what the difference is? Trust. Say trust. You see, when we live in an atmosphere of trust, then when we cast our cares, we can leave our cares. We can leave that issue in the hands of our Savior. Why? Because we know in whom we have believed. You know, I one of the posts I put on my public Facebook page this week, I mean, it really touched me. You know, God really spoke to me, and so I shared it, and I put this post up. And I said this. God used a spare rib. My husband didn't notice this one, or else he'd have licked his lips. He loves ribs. But then that would have been a bit odd about what I'm about to say. God used a spare rib to create a perfect woman. God used a wooden stick to separate a sea. God used a solid rock to produce enough fresh drinking water to refresh an entire nation. God used ravens, not to bring food once to his servant, but to daily feed his servant. Turn to your neighbor and say, trust. You see, I know in whom I believe. This God of ours, he is trustworthy. Amen. He has proved himself faithful. He is a God who we can rely on, who we can depend upon. You see, if we will make the decision, say decision, to trust, you will find that a lot of things that you've been really struggling with, you've been struggling because you've been trying in your own human effort even to cast the care. You know, even with casting care, sometimes we try and do it all ourselves. But when we get to that place and we just say, God, I trust you. You see, let me tell you the difference between faith and trust. Trust is an atmosphere. Trust is a heart attitude. Trust is a decision because we know in whom we have believed. Faith is goal-oriented. Faith has specific requests that it is bringing to the God of miracles. Amen? How many of you have goals? There's things you're believing God to do for you this year. Yes. So we need faith to lay hold of those things. We need to apply our faith. We need to see it. We need to say it. So important. But you see, trust is what goes beyond our faith and beyond our goals and says, God, I don't even know the how sometimes, and I trust you. However it works out, I trust you anyway. Whether or not the specific plans and ideas and hopes and dreams that I have unfold the way I would like them to, are you hearing me? I trust you anyway. Trust is higher. Trust is about a person. Trust is about a relationship with somebody who we know and who we can rely on because he's faithful. You know, there are so many times in life when I've seen God come through on my goals because my faith has been out there. But there's been other times when I've got to the point where I've said, God, I don't understand anymore. And if it was just that I stayed there with, I just don't understand what's going on. I've done everything that I thought I was supposed to do. I've believed you. I've relied on you. But then we reach that point where we say, but God, it's okay because I trust you. You're my daddy, God. I'm your daughter. And so I just say, I trust you, Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Trust is a decision. I want us to look at one of the reasons sometimes why people can struggle with trust. Trust is so important. I mentioned the benefits. The first one is that you get to be happy no matter what's going on. Do you remember Jesus in the boat when there was a storm outside? How many of you remember that story? And what did he do? He had a rest. He was asleep. He was sleeping himself happy. You see, what are you and I doing when there's a storm? Ah, there's a storm. Look, the waves, the wind. Ah, it's terrible. Jesus was sleeping because of trust. Because he knew in whom he believed. He knew that if God had brought him this far, God can take him further. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, those who trust are happy. Those who trust are protected. You know, what are the things when we're fearing? It's all to do with what's going to happen, isn't it? It's, oh my goodness. And the Bible's so clear, and I'll read a verse a little bit later. But that when we trust, God protects us spirit, soul, and body. He says again and again, look, if you trust me, you won't be ashamed. If you trust me, I won't allow you to be put to shame. But trust is the prerequisite. Say trust. Hallelujah. You see, I said that I was going to mention one of the things that the enemy tries to do to attack trust. And I just want to recap a little bit of David's life, King David. Terry mentioned King David earlier. I love to read about the life of David because he wasn't perfect in his behavior or his actions. He didn't always get it right, even as in some of the most important relationships of his life, he messed up. But his heart was always desiring to be right before God. You see, God called him a man after his own heart because there was truth in David's heart. There was truth. There was a desire to be constantly getting closer and for God to be doing more and more on the inside of him. I love studying the life of David because I can see somebody who was so real. How many of you like it when people are real? And David was real. But look at this. I just want to mention a few of David's relationships, okay? You see, number one, tells us in Psalm 27, verse 10, and the NASB is the best, and New American Standard Bible version is the best. The Bible says that he was forsaken by his father and mother, David. We don't know exactly what that means, what it looked like. But he was forsaken. He said, even though I was forsaken by my father and mother, Psalm 27, verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. So David was forsaken. He was let down. He was betrayed in some way or other by his father and mother. We know that certainly when his dad was asked to parade all his sons before the prophet Samuel, he didn't even bother to call David. We don't know what that was about. We don't know whether David maybe, you know, there was doubts over who his real dad. Well, we don't know what the reasons are, but David was certainly not treated the same as his brothers. You know, and for whatever it was that went on in his home, and we hear nothing really of David's mother, but whatever it was that went on, we do know that David felt completely betrayed and let down by his dad and mum. You know, and we all know that the most important and formative relationships are those with our father and mother. You know, and at that point where David was understanding the world, you know, we understand what the world is like by the way we're treated by our parents. We understand right and wrong, and we understand love and all these other things by the way we're treated. And something went on in David's upbringing that made him feel completely and utterly forsaken. You know, and that was David. He was forsaken. His brothers belittled him. We see it a couple times. Do you remember when David went out, when Goliath was taunting the people of Israel, and David was wondering whether there was anything he could do to help, and his brothers just put him down, squashed him, just talked him to size. You know what I mean by that. You know, when you're just trying to build your confidence up and to say, you know, maybe I can really do this, and then someone just comes with this huge put down. Teachers, you know, we need to pray for our teachers. They have an amazing opportunity and job, but sometimes the words of teachers can carry something so painful when those teachers don't understand the power of their words. And that was David with his brothers. He was abandoned. You know, you see, the thing is, David went from having a mum and a dad who forsook him, who let him down. And then he met this man. And he said, wow, this man's like a father to me, King Saul. He called him father. He even continued to call him father after King Saul wanted to kill him. Imagine. He was completely abandoned by his mentor and spiritual dad. And this one who, you know, was supposed to be helping him into the fulfillment of his ministry. You know, so many times when we go through stuff where there's someone we've looked up to, maybe a pastor, a leader, a relative who's really been like an amazing father figure in our lives. But then just suddenly it turns. And that's what happened for David. One moment, King Saul was saying, wow, this is my son David. Keep him close to me. I want him playing the harp when I'm around. I want him leading at the front, leading my armies. He's my golden boy. Imagine how that must have made King David feel, as he wasn't yet king. But as a young man, wow, You know, my dad let me down. He broke my heart. But this man's with me. He believes in me. And then suddenly, David became too successful. King Saul couldn't handle it, abandoned him. His own son, Absalom, betrayed him. You see, David was a candidate for trust issues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, do you remember I explained what the benefits of trust are? When you can really trust, you'll be protected. You're not going to be ashamed. Your stuff's going to be all right. Your family's going to be all right. And you are going to be all right. Amen. You know, whatever it is you're going through, you're going to be all right. And you see, trust is what will guarantee. Because by saying, I trust you, God, I'm handing over the reins of my life to the one who's able to sort it. Are you hearing me? Amen. Trust is my way of saying, God, I believe and I give you permission to take care of me. You see, so the enemy is always looking to break our trust. And in King David, you see what the enemy did. You see, the enemy sees the destiny that you have. He sees the potential. He sees the gifts. He doesn't know your future. We mustn't overrate Satan, you understand? But he can see the gifts. He can see the call because it stands out. And so what he's going to do is send people your way to break your trust, to dent. And in his hope, his aim is to irreparably damage your ability to trust. You know, even things that happen, we can end up blaming God. We can end up saying, you know, well, you could have sorted it, and you didn't, Lord. But you see, it's in those very moments when stuff happens that we really don't understand, where if we will just say, I trust. You know, the biggest example I've been through, and most of you know this, was when our daughter died and we'd done everything we knew to do in raising a child. But then, you know, in a moment before her second birthday, gone. And there was such a temptation, I'm sure, to just literally say to ourselves, you know, the one person who could have saved her, the one who could have raised her from the dead, you know, didn't come through for us. But I remember the decision we made. And I remember us very deliberately saying, do you know what? We wanted our daughter back. But we'll have the next best thing if we can't have her back. Lord, we're beggars and we want healing. We felt like beggars saying, God, if we can't have her, we'll have the next best thing, which is, Lord, heal our hearts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, the enemy is looking to destroy your trust in the only one who's actually able to help you. He's the one who holds your future in his hands. I look back on that season, however painful it was, and I would never wish anyone to go through that pain of losing somebody that you love, but I look back with such gratitude to God. Why am I grateful? Because he healed my heart so completely, and out of that tragedy gave me a ministry. Out of that pain and agony gave me a gift and an anointing that will get somebody else set free, that will get somebody else healed. And I still get to pick up where I left off when I go to heaven. Hallelujah. Trust. Say trust. Trust. The enemy wants to break your trust. He wants to affect your ability. You see, I said at the beginning that if we really trust God, we'll trust people. I've heard many people say, well, I've got trust issues. I want to encourage you, if you know somewhere deep inside you struggle to trust people, I'm asking you today to allow God to shine his light into your heart, into the areas where your trust was broken. And so that you reach that point where you say, Lord God, I'm ready for you to heal me and I'm ready to trust again. Do you know, trust is relaxing. Trust is restful. There's no strife in trust. There's no human effort in trust. It just says, Daddy God, I trust you. You know, and it's amazing how many different things are really just symptoms of broken trust. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 17, verse 10, and this is talking about wicked people who didn't know God, but it shows a principle. It says, they have closed their hearts. They have closed their hearts. One of the things that we do if we're no longer trusting is that we close our hearts. You know, if somebody who was a teacher once hurt you, you look at teachers and your heart is shut. You know, it will make us step back. The Bible talks about those who isolate themselves. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The Bible says he who isolates himself seeks his own desire. But what that means is, you know, that one of the things we do if our trust has been broken is we back off. We end up living in a little bit of a cocoon because we don't trust. You know, another thing, you know, one of the things that people who really struggle to delegate, you know, bringing it a bit more into kind of, you know, the practical. Often if people struggle to delegate, it's a trust issue. Because you can't handle the thought of failure. You can't handle the shame of it not quite going right. And so you struggle to delegate. Are you hearing me? You see, when we trust God, we can trust people knowing that it's all right if they fail. Are you hearing me? One of the greatest joys I've ever had is to raise people up in preaching and teaching and ministry. And every time I hand someone a microphone, I'm trusting someone. I'm trusting God and I'm trusting them. But you know what? Part of what makes it fine is it doesn't matter if they mess up a bit. Are you hearing me? We're not called to get it right all of the time. We're just called to love God and serve him with all of our hearts. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that some of you that really struggle to trust your children. But you know what? They will fail. They will mess up. But in the very act of trusting them, you're going to help them to grow up knowing you believe in them. You see, every time I trust my children, I'm projecting belief. I believe in you. I believe in you. And what is belief? Belief is love. Because love believes, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, trust is something that we need to choose. Trust is a decision. Trust is something that we step into. Trust is something that we turn to. And it's an attitude and an atmosphere that God wants us to live in. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says several times, do not harden your hearts. So often, the result or the response to broken trust is we harden our hearts to certain types of people. Oh, well, you know, and I'm just hearing a prompting of the Spirit there. You know, so often if there's somebody from a certain race or creed that has hurt you, in fact, I remember at Healed for Life last week, the two-day course that we run, one particular lady had been really hurt by some Kenyans. And she just didn't trust Kenyans anymore. And it was when Roro just came before her and on behalf of the people from her nation, just confessed those sins. You know, and that woman with tears streaming down her cheeks was restored. You know, but God doesn't want us to hold these things. He doesn't want us to be bound by the experiences of the past. He doesn't want the past to frame our future. He wants to frame our future. Are you hearing? You know, and here we have this man, David. You know, it's awesome. This man, David, who had every opportunity to have trust issues. Do you know how he dealt with it? Do you know this is a real key in our lives generally. If you know you have a vulnerability somewhere, if you know that in a particular area of your life you are prone to slip, you're prone to get it wrong, I want to encourage you to come at that thing in the opposite spirit. If in one area you know that, you know, you've seen that you're not always very grateful, do you know, make it your goal that you will say thank you 1,000 times a day. I mean, you might not get to 1,000, But even if you get, do you understand? Come at it. And what did David do? He probably knew by the Spirit of God. Do you know what? I've had every relationship in my life broken. Even if you search and read the Psalms, there's every suggestion that in the end, Jonathan would let him down. He said, my closest companion has forsaken me. Who was David's closest companion? Jonathan. He says, my closest companion. But you see, this man made a decision. He realized, you know what? I've got a choice. I either live my life with trust issues and I never fulfill my potential. Are you hearing me? I either live my life refusing to trust anyone again. But you see, we live on planet Earth with people. Amen. And he said, so instead of being the man who has a problem with trust, I'm going to become the man who's known for trust. Instead of being that man who's known for not wanting to delegate, not wanting to raise others up in case they hurt me, I'm going to be a man known for the armies, for the 300 mighty men that I raised up around me who did mightier things than I ever did. You read your Bible. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? What did David do? Do you know, in just a few psalms, he said on 14 different occasions, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. He made it something that he constantly and repeatedly did. He said, God, do you know what? I don't understand everything around me, but I trust you. I put my trust in you. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I know that the Holy Spirit wants to heal the hearts of anyone who has experienced broken trust. Because, you know, although we can make the right decisions no matter what's happened to us, the more our hearts get healed, the more we can be a carrier of his love and his healing. The more we can bring the light of Jesus into the lives of others. And right now, just as we're in the presence of God, if you just shut your eyes, everyone across this place, if you just shut your eyes. And if you're saying, my trust was broken. You know, some of you might say, my trust is broken, but God's already healed me. There's no pain left. The way we know if it's still affecting us is that that memory comes with a little bit of pain. But if you have experienced broken trust, and there's even a remnant of pain left relating to that, then God wants to heal your heart. Just while everyone has their eyes shut, if that's you and you're saying, God, do that work in me, just lift your hands up in the presence of God. Just lift your hands up high. Thank you, Jesus. Right across this place, Lord God. Don't be ashamed. You know, the very act of saying, I need you, Lord, the very act is an act of humility. And the very act of saying, I need help in this area, is evidence that God's going to do that work within. Father, I lift up every person whose hands are raised. Lord, you see how their trust was broken. Some of you here, it's been by partners who've been unfaithful or haven't kept their word. Others, it's been by mother or father, by pastors, by leaders, by teachers, by siblings, by those who you thought would have stood by you, siblings, hurt from siblings, who you believed would have been there. Right now, Father, I pray that you would bring your healing into every single heart. Thank you that you're the God who shows us the pain so that you can take it away, so that you can heal us so deep on the inside. And if you're here today and your trust for God has been dented, something happened and you thought God was responsible, right now I pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, you see their desire to trust you again. And I thank you that you are only the author of light and you're the father of light. And every good and perfect gift is from you. So every person who's seen you as the source of their pain, Lord God, I pray for your healing power to touch their hearts right now, in Jesus' name. And you remember what David did? He said, I put my trust in you. He said, I make a decision today to put my trust in you. If God has been talking to you this morning and you feel that sense that you want to just make that decision, you know, even just a few weeks ago, all my plans for this US trip coming up all looked like they just suddenly fell apart. And I had so many goals and hopes and aspirations. And then suddenly it looked like the whole thing was just falling apart around me. And I remember just getting on my knees before the Lord and saying, Father, I trust you. It doesn't matter if it doesn't go the way I thought. It doesn't matter if people who said they'd do things didn't do them. It doesn't matter, Lord, because I'm not looking to people, I'm looking to you. Some of you here, you've been betrayed. People made promises to you. People said that they'd fix it. People said that they'd be there. People said that they'd support you, and they've let you down. But the Lord is saying to you, if you will just put your trust in me afresh, you're going to see my plan unfold in your life. We're going to sing this song this morning. I give myself away. So you, just a little quieter. I give myself away. You know, in that song, we're saying, God, I trust you. And if right now you're saying, I want to place my life back into the hands of God from a point of a new level of trust, where I lay down my cares, I lay down my disappointments, I lay down the pain, and I'm saying, Lord, I just trust you instead. Would you just come, make your way, and just kneel at the altar?